Well, let's start the lesson and let's read John 3:16 and 17, and then we'll jump in here. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Hallelujah. Now, we're going to share a few thoughts tonight, kind of hook up with where we were Sunday on being yielded and open. But tonight, I want to add a little bit to that. We're talking about being led by the Spirit of God. We're talking, you could say, the series title is Living a Spirit-Led Life. And part of that is, you could say that there are things that we could do to be more sensitive to the leadings of His Spirit, and recognizing the inward witness. And part of that, we were talking about being yielded, being open. You know, like in any relationship, you know how some folks will say, we're not talking about that. I'm not open to even listen. And sometimes when we're not open to even discuss that with the Lord, we say, well, that's off limits. I'm not talking about that. Well, then you're not even open to being led. So sometimes it takes a long time for God to work with us so that we are open. We want to be quick and open to yield to his prompts. So that's one area. But I think another area that is very significant is keeping a clear conscience. That if your conscience isn't clear, it can affect being sensitive to his Spirit and his promptings. You know, you could say if your conscience isn't clear, it's cluttered, isn't it? That'd be another way of saying it. I was looking up a definition, and we'll get here and read this scripture, but listen to what the word clutter stands for. This is an interesting, it says to fill or cover with scattered or disordered things that impede movement or reduce effectiveness. So if your spirit gets cluttered with stuff because it's not clear, it can impede or reduce effectiveness. What? Reduce your effectiveness of hearing God. So part of that is keeping your conscience clear. So let's, as we started over, let's go over to Romans chapter 8 and let's read these scriptures that we've been looking at, our foundation scriptures that we've been looking at, Romans chapter 8, and starting in verse 14. It says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Verse 16, the Spirit itself, the modern translations more accurately translates to himself, beareth witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. And I like the New Century Version. It says, the true children of God are those who let God's Spirit lead them. You've got to let him lead you in your spirit. And verse 16 In the complete Jewish Bible, it says the Spirit himself bears witness with our own spirit. I like that. And the Weymouth translation, it says the Spirit himself bears witness along with our own spirit. So you have a spirit, you are a spirit, and through a lot of the teachings, you all remember this, Pastor Clinton used to share it when he was alive because he heard it from Brother Hagin. And he would share, the conscience is the voice of your spirit. And reasoning is the voice of the mind or the intellect, and feelings are the voice of your body. And so your conscience is a voice. It's a voice in your spirit. It's a voice of your spirit. So the Holy Spirit bears witness. What do we mean by that? You get an inkling, you get a nudge. I'm going to go this way today. I'm going to do this. It just feels right. And you get another witness. He bears witness with your spirit. So your spirit says, come over here. You get a thought, I'm going this way. And there's another witness that says, yeah, this is the right way. It's a witness that does what? Assures or confirms that the direction you're going in is the right way, or the choice you're making is the right choice. But if you go in this direction and there's a witness, no, don't do that. Don't do that. Then that confirmation is what? Assuring you that's not the right way. Because you're making an inward choice. I'm thinking about the scripture. What does it say when we give? You make a choice. A cheerful giver, isn't that what it says? That whose heart is in his giving. So you've made a choice. I'm going this way. I'm going to give this amount. And then there's another witness that says, no, don't give that much. Give this amount. And you go, oh, no. You understand my point? And so you can make a choice to do something, go a direction, make a choice, and there's another witness. Why? Because there's another person living inside you, the Holy Spirit. And so we need to be more sensitive, not sensitive so much as recognize that he is speaking, the thought that comes. Follow that thought. And when we do, we'll have success in everything. I believe that. I'm convinced of it. And we've all missed it. I've missed it. You've missed it. But we're getting it when we start to follow these thoughts. Here's a thought. You know, folks are wondering, you know, I feel draggy. I don't feel right. And the thought comes, exercise. I ain't doing that. I don't like the exercise. I don't like the exercise. I don't like that. So you, when you are not open and you don't follow that, you don't obey that thought, you don't follow it out, you dull yourself. You dull your hearing. See, so then when the next thought comes, it's like, what? See, because you didn't yield to that thought, you're not developing in spiritual things. See? And we've all done this, right? So it's just a matter of becoming more sensitive. And how do we do that? Obey. Follow the prompts, follow the thoughts that come, or the inward nudgings. You see, Brother Hagin used to call it like this when the Lord Jesus appeared to him. He said, red light, green light. He'd say, what seems good to do? All through Acts, we went through that. What seems good to do? You can go right to the beginning of Luke. You don't have to turn there, but you'd have to change scripture when you look at the very first chapter of Luke and the third verse. Luke, what does he say? It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee. So it seemed good to write this gospel. It didn't say Jesus appeared to him. It didn't say an angel appeared to him. It said it seemed good. And sometimes that's the thing. When something seems good to do, you need to follow that. But he didn't speak to me. Yes, he did. That's the inward witness. It seemed good to do. You know, it just seems good. I'm going to do something for somebody and it seems good. Then do it. Do it. Because it seems good. Seems right. So, part of what we're talking about tonight is developing in this particular area, keeping your conscience clear. And what we've talked about here is that you are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. You have a body. So you are a spirit. And let's turn over for a moment. I'm going to just take a few minutes here. Let's turn over to the book of Acts, and let's look at verse 23. Acts chapter 23 and verse 1. So when we're talking about the conscience being the voice of the Spirit, can a person have what you would say a good conscience and somebody have maybe a bad conscience? Can somebody be more aware of their conscience and somebody be less aware of their conscience? The answer is yes. And we'll show you, you can see why that is. But if you look at Acts 23 and look at verse 1, there's a lot in Scripture you can go through and look at the references to conscience. There's a lot of Scripture references to conscience, but it says, "And Paul, earnestly beholding the council, said, Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before the Lord until this day." Wow. He lived, what? In all good conscience. That means he had to do something. He lived, that means there was some action there, wasn't there? When you look at this in a modern translation, this is the Good News translation. It says, "Paul looked straight at the council and said, My fellow Israelites, my conscience is perfectly clear about the way in which I have lived before God to this very day. My conscience is perfectly clear before God." Now, do you think that might have been important to Paul? I think so. Can we live that way? Yes, we can. This is the another particular translation, the NRS. It says, "While Paul was looking intently at the council, he says, Brothers, up to this day I have lived my life with a clear conscience before God." Wow. That's something that we need to strive for. That if how do we do that? If we do something or say something that's we know isn't right, then we need to stop and fix it. That's keeping your conscience clear. And we don't let things go on and on and on, but we keep it clear. Why? Because it can dull your sensitivity. Your conscience says, that wasn't right. I need to say something. And so if you don't, you can dull your sensitivity to the Spirit of God by not doing that. That's keeping your conscience clear, right? And it affects your ability, can affect your ability to keep to hear the voice of the Spirit of God. Look at verse chapter 24. Look at Acts 24. And look at verse 16. It's another. It's, it says, and herein do I exercise myself. Wow. He's doing something here. To have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. So he exercises, he works at this. This isn't something he just happens to hit or miss here. This says here, he exercised himself to have always a conscience void of offense towards God and toward men. So this just didn't happen automatically. He had to do something here, didn't he? If you look at this in the New International Version, it says, I strive always to keep my conscience clear before God and man. He strived for that. He strived to keep his conscience clear. The Amplified Version says, therefore, I always exercise and discipline myself, I like this, mortifying my body, deadening my carnal affections, bodily appetites, and worldly desires, endeavoring in all respects to have a clear, unshaken, blameless conscience, void of offense toward God and toward men. So he worked at keeping his conscience clear. I know, watching, when we were out at Rhema, watching some of the people that work overseas get up and teach, one in particular, I mean, just exuded a way about the person that I just said, you know what, we can learn, we learn from Scripture, but we also can learn by example. And we watch, and I'll tell you, some of the hardships that are endured, and they don't complain. They keep their conscience clear. You know, you could go overseas and be grumbling the whole way. I don't like this, but they keep their conscience clear. When you keep your conscience clear, you keep the love of God, you keep your heart to the place where the love of God can operate through and flow through and not hinder that, you see? And so when we don't have a clear conscience, it can affect not only being led, but being led. How was Jesus always led? It was compassion, wasn't it? So sometimes the compassion can hinder or be hindered operating through us if our conscience isn't clear. Isn't that true? Everybody awake out there? Is this? Am I talking Greek tonight? I don't know. Are you all just, you're processing? All right, okay. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Let's look at verse 3. These are ways that we keep our conscience clear and sensitive to the prompts. Second Timothy chapter 1 and verse 3. Again, I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. And the Good News says, a Good News translation, I give thanks to God, whom I serve with a clear conscience. That's what the modern translation. As my ancestors did, I thank him as I remember you always in my prayers, night and day. And the New International Version says, I thank God whom I serve as my forefathers did with a clear conscience. As night and day, I constantly remember you in my prayers. Doing things for the Lord with a clear conscience. Isn't that good? I think it's great. Love it. Hallelujah. Hebrews. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 18. Hebrews 13 and 18. It says, pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. Let me read that from some modern translations. The New International, it says, pray for us. We are sure that we have a clear conscience and desire to live honorably in every way. And that's good. The Good News translation, it says, keep on praying for us. We are sure we have a clear conscience because we want to do the right thing at all times. Wow. Isn't that good? We want to do the right thing at all times. Hallelujah. The right thing at all times. So, keeping your heart clear puts you in a position to do the right thing all the time. You know, and those things apply whether we're on the job, whether we're at home, whether you're a child, whether you're an adult, whether you're husband or wife. You keep your conscience clear. You keep it clear. You don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. You keep it clear. And don't let it go. And those are the things that will help you, because if a thought comes, go over and fix this. And you dismiss it, you dull yourself. Because now, what are you doing? You're yielding to your own flesh. See, I believe in let me read this from the Romans. Chapter 8 and verse 5, you don't have to turn there. It says, but they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. But for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So one thing that is I'd like to dovetail with this, is that when your conscience is clear, there's peace. There's peace in your heart. You're not frustrated. See? When you have peace in your heart, now your head might be saying something else, but when you are endeavoring to keep your conscience clear and the thought comes, go over there, you have peace. There's peace in your heart. Is that not right? What does it say? We're to endeavor to live at peace with all men. And that's a way if you keep your conscience clear. Keep it clear. I mentioned this Sunday. If we want to be sensitive to his direction, then we have to be receptive to his correction. If you want to be sensitive to his direction, you have to be receptive to his correction. And if we refuse the correction, then we dull the direction. You know what I mean? You dull the direction when you refuse the correction. And God is merciful. He's merciful. One thing that, how many like clutter? Anybody like clutter? I can't stand it. I don't like it. I don't like living in clutter. I'll tell you about me. When I leave the door, when I go out the door, everything looks like the way I came in. Everything's in place. Everything's put away. Bed's made, dishes clean, everything's put away, stuff's put away. Now, it takes extra time, but I don't like it. I don't like living that way. Now, sometimes I get behind, and so there's some things piled up, but I don't like it. I really don't. And I don't even like right now, I got stacks on my desk. They've been there. I don't like it. I really don't. It bugs me. It bothers me. And sometimes I can't get to that because the stuff pulls on you and you don't get to it. But I don't like clutter. I never did. It's out of order. Now, I'm not here to beat on anybody, but I'm saying if there's clutter, Pastor Clinton used to say something. You find a person that's disorganized or not disorganized. You find a person that's not disciplined in natural things, you will mostly find that they're not disciplined in spiritual things. And so those things apply also that when we're not disciplined to be organized with things and we don't yield to clean up, we can have a tendency to procrastinate. If we procrastinate, or maybe use it that way. If we procrastinate about cleaning things up, there's a possibility we may procrastinate, because it's the same person that's thinking that way, may procrastinate about keeping a clear conscience. You may. I'm not saying you will. You may. And so, we need to be quick to fix things. That's how we're going to develop in spiritual sensitivity. Because as we get bigger and bigger assignments, in those assignments, you may get your toes stepped on. You may get your feathers ruffled, and what are you going to do? What are you going to do then? You're going to need to be able to grow in that assignment, grow in the ability to hear God, and you don't want to dismiss those things when you run into them. Fix them, you see. So part of that process is making sure that there's not any clutter. I call clutter or things, clutter can cloud, can it? You know, it's funny. You find a person that they're not organized. You might take a person at home. They've got their pots and pans all over. I know it's here somewhere, but I'm in a hurry, so let's just go buy another one, because I ain't got time to find where that is. I don't know where that shirt or pants are, but I'm in a hurry, so forget it. Let's just go buy another one. You know what I'm saying? So that kind of clutter can cloud where something is. You can't put your finger on it. And you don't want that kind of thing going on in your heart. You want to fix things regardless of what it takes. Ask the Holy Ghost what you need to do. And I'll say this. Turn over to Hebrews 9 for a moment. We're talking about keeping your heart clear. And let's just say, okay, well, you know, I've got some things I need to fix. Okay. Well, God's got an answer. Look at Hebrews 9, familiar scripture verse, and verse 12, 13, and 14. So your conscience right now, you need to get that clear. So how do you do that? It says, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge what? Your conscience. Purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Only the blood of Christ can cleanse your conscience. Only the blood of Christ can cleanse your conscience. But we have to do something to keep it clear. When you have offense in your heart, the blood of Christ will cleanse that. But what did Paul say? I lived and exercised to do what? Keep my heart clear from offense. So we have to do something to keep it clear. What do I mean? When the thought comes, you knew you did something wrong, you don't dismiss it. You go and you fix it. That's how you keep your heart clear. So we have a part to play in keeping our heart clear, or keeping our conscience clear. Does that make sense? So the blood of Jesus can cleanse our heart, but we have a part to play to keep it clear. We have a responsibility. And as I was saying before, part of being led by the Spirit, keeping our heart clear, is also recognizing, you know, how I want to put this. When we operate in faith, let me get a scripture, because that's probably a better way to present this. Why don't we go to Colossians 3 for a moment? Colossians chapter 3, and look at verse 15. And then I want to go back to Romans 8 again. So Colossians 3, it says, and let verse 15, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. I like this. This is the Good News translation. The peace that God gives is to guide you in the decisions you make. The peace that God gives is to guide you in the decisions that you make. So if you're feeling vexed, you're feeling frustrated, that's not peace. That's not wisdom. That's not the direction you should go. It should be peace, you see. And so as we're being led by the Spirit of God, if you don't have peace, if it's not ruling in your heart, don't do it. If you're about to have a conversation and you don't have peace, zip it. Zip it. Let peace rule in your heart. In, what does this say here in the Good News Translation? The peace that Christ gives is to guide you in the decisions that you make. This is another one. This is I think it's the Weymouth New Testament. It says, and let the peace which Christ gives settle all questionings in your heart. Let the peace that Christ gives settle all questionings in your heart. Let that peace guide you. When you're feeling frustrated or vexed, I'm going to say this, you can't be in faith. You cannot be in faith. I'll show you why. There's a scripture verse. It's in Hebrews. Let me just see here a moment. I believe it's in chapter 4. Yeah. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 4 for a minute. The part of keeping your heart clear is letting peace rule. Let peace reign in your heart. Keeping it clear. Look at Hebrews chapter 4. And look at verse 9. It says, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief or disobedience. So in other words, when you're in faith, you enter into rest. You have peace. When you're frustrated and vexed, you're not in peace and you're not in faith. Because if you're in faith, you enter into rest. You have peace. Your heart's clear. Does that make sense? I mean, that's what the scripture says. And a lot of us have experienced it. I know I have. Even from the point of not being in faith, being frustrated about something. And I'm going to go back again to Romans chapter 8. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. What is that? Peace. Rest. But when you're frustrated about something, you're not in faith. You're being carnally minded, not spiritually minded. See? For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So when we're led by the Spirit of God, we want to be led by peace. And if you're being vexed, your spirit's vexed, you're frustrated about something, you need to look and see why that is. Why am I being frustrated by this? Why is my spirit vexed by this? And get to the bottom of it. See, because if we're in faith, then we're being spiritually minded about something, aren't we? It's life and peace. And we can rest. If there's an unsettling in our heart, we need to find out why that is, if there's an unsettling. Let me just, we just have a few minutes here. Look at Romans chapter 3 for a moment. Romans chapter 3, and look at verse And you know, we could back up. And it talks about what then, are we better than they? No one, no wise, back in verse 9, for we have proved before Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin, and is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable, there is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher, with their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed. Destruction and misery are in their ways. Look at verse 17. And the way of peace they have not known. Isn't that significant? And the way of peace they have not known. When you look that up in other modern translations, God's Word translation says, and they have not learned to live in peace. And Good News says, the Good News translation says, they have not known the path of peace. So when we are spiritually minded, it's life and peace. Let peace rule in your heart. Let your heart be clear of offense. Keep that clear. That has a big impact on dulling our sensitivity to the knowings and the promptings and the revealings and the revelation that comes from the Spirit of God. It can. It can dull that. And here's the thing. We want to be sensitive to the slightest nudgings that come, the slightest knowings that come from the Spirit of God. If we've got our mind on things that are carnal, and we're thinking about these things, that when he begins to speak and direct, a lot of times if your mind's on it and you're just so clouded with that, cluttered with that, you're not even focused on it. He can't get in because you're consumed with that, and you miss it. A lot of times you miss it. You miss those prompts. You know, for me, how many have experienced this, that when your mind is quiet, has anybody experienced this? When you're quiet and you're not thinking about certain things and your mind is just quiet, have anybody experienced that a lot of times thoughts come, the Spirit of God begins to give you thoughts and ideas and solutions to things? Why? Because your mind is not on earthly things. You're quiet. Your mind's quiet. Is that true? We've all experienced that. So we want to keep our mind and our heart clear of offense, clear conscience. Inside. I'm finished. I hope that helps a little bit, because it's all part of living a Spirit-led life, living, being sensitive to the move of the Spirit and living in this earth. I mean, you know, you look at, you know, if we feed and constantly feed on the news and, you know, this person did this, and this person did this, and this elected person did this, we begin to form opinions. And we have thoughts about that. So when a thought comes, do something, pray, vote for this person, we go, no way, because I've already decided because I got an opinion. So we're not even open and sensitive to the prompts of the Holy Ghost. It doesn't even have to be that. It could be interactions with people. People that you may know. I had an experience once, happened to me once in my life. And it's really hard to explain this in earthly terms. That's the best way I'm going to explain this. When I first came to the Lord and I got born again, my spirit was alive. And things began to just, I don't say revelations, but there was, I knew he lived in there. It was alive. And the thought came. Now, I'm a brand new Christian, and the thought came to me, stay away from that girl. Okay, I don't even know the person, but the thought came, stay away. And I did. I started, you know, it was just young people, and I'm be friends, just go over here, yik, 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 and we go over there. Word got back through some people that wanted to know why I was avoiding her. I said, got it. That's how I began to learn to follow the Holy Ghost. A thought came, stay away from this person. And I did. Now, what happened after that was I had certain, well, I'll just say naturally, I had an opinion about this person because the Holy Ghost said, stay away. And they had a problem. They had a fixation. You understand what I mean by that? They had a fixation about me. Had no reason to. It was devilish. But in a setting, I prayed for this person. I didn't want to, because I had some opinions. But the Holy Ghost, it's hard to explain in earthly terms. Because I've, you know, we talk about the love of God and the compassion of God. We talk about it. Oh, the love of God and the compassion of God. His compassion overtook me over. It's hard to explain unless you've experienced it. But the compassion of God was so overwhelming that there was not one negative thought about this person. It wasn't even in my mind. The presence of God, the love of God was so strong that there were no thoughts of evil, no thoughts of carnal thinking towards this person. It was God. And I've only experienced that once. And it was so powerful that I said, that's how God is. The compassion of God and the love of God doesn't see us the way we see each other. Thank God. He doesn't see us or think about us the way we think about other people. You might go, he's like, we hesitate, not, there's no thought, not even a thought, not even a inkling of a thought of negative. There was no negative thought in my mind towards this person. And it was alarming to me. I'm telling you, it was alarming. It wasn't there. And then it lifted. And then the thoughts were there. But for that period of time, the love of God, the compassion of God, I want to just say it took me over. And I said, man, I'd love to live in that 24/7. But we don't. And so I think we can begin to live that way and move in that direction by keeping our heart clear. Because then your mind and your heart gets clear of things and you keep it clear. That makes sense? Yeah, it does me. Amen. Praise God. Father, we thank you. Thank you for these few moments that we have together to remind ourselves of the importance of being led by you and keeping our hearts clear and our conscience clear so we can hear you better, so it's not dulled and distant from you. And Father, we thank you. And Father, if we've missed it at any area, we repent. We ask that we be cleansed by the blood of Jesus so that our hearts be cleansed and clear before you. In the name of Jesus, we give you praise. Amen.